Hello and welcome to another audio interview with me, Philip, from Run, Think, Shoot, Live. Today, I'm going to be talking to Bradley. Bradley is the author of Abandon the Town. Hello, Bradley.
Hello.
How you doing?
I'm doing all right.
Okay, good. Thanks for making the time. We got quite a time difference. It's like 10:15 for you and 7:15 for me in the morning. So thank you for sort of making the time. All right. So forgive me for sounding very rude, but until I saw this mod, I'd never heard of you. Now, of course, I don't know everybody in the modding world, but normally I hear of people and I'd never heard of you. So who the heck are you?
Well, this is my first project, so I'd be a little surprised if you had heard of me. I'm a 22-year-old basically learning how to make games through working on mods, and to me this was basically sort of like my school project, if you will. Like, not like a school gave it to me, but like, rather than doing a big school project, this was, you know, my full-time thing to do.
Okay, so I'm not sure I understand. Do you had to do something for school?
No, I mean,
and
like,
you chose to do this?
I chose to do this. Basically, if you want to, when we get in like history, just like a little bit.
Okay.
Basically, I'd always wanted to make a mod, like, since I was like a teenager, and I never was really good at mapping, so I kind of gave up on that for a while. And I took a semester of college, and it went okay. I wasn't really happy with like what I was doing. So summer comes, and we have a break, and I decided, all right, what the heck, I'm going to start on a mod. And I don't know, finally, like, things felt like they were kind of clicking, and I decided this is like the career path I want to choose, like indie game development and whatnot. So I decided, instead of doing any more college, I'm just going to see what I can get out of this if I focus on it full time.
Okay, so you dropped out of college?
Yeah.
Is that right?
It was just community college, not like...
Yeah, but still, it's still like a huge commitment. All right, okay, that's good, that's good. So a few moments ago, you mentioned that you'd sort of started mapping when you were maybe a teenager. What sort of games did you... Well, games did you mod for back then?
Mostly just Half-Life 2 stuff. I didn't really... I didn't like do a whole lot I didn't understand programming or anything, and I was just like very unfocused. But I would every now and then kind of learn a new thing. I would follow this one guy. I guess you could give a small shout out, Top Pat Waffle on YouTube, who would do these like guides for like mapping. And so every now and then I'd be like, I'm gonna learn a new thing, and that was like basically all the history I had for like maybe a year.
Okay. Did you release anything?
Nope. It was completely
okay, so
opposite.
Just in your bedroom, building stuff and playing it. Did you share it with your friends or anything?
A couple. There was a couple where there was like something, you know, barely playable. It was all like kind of stock Half-Life 2 stuff. And I'd just be like, hey, is this fun? They'd be like, oh, I guess.
Really helpful feedback, okay. All right. So the summer comes, and this is obviously last summer. You said, right, I'm going to make something, going to really put my mind to it.
Yep.
How did you go about planning it?
Well, there were like certain things I knew I wanted out of it, but like I wasn't sure how much I'd be able to accomplish. Like, I knew I wanted to change weapons. I knew I wanted to like make some edits to enemies, but I had never, ever, ever touched code before. Like, so I was really kind of like, I almost terrified of doing that. Like, I would look at it and be like, I don't know what I'm looking at. So, I had like a really rough idea of like, okay, I'm going to make like a map and release it. But I kept having to like kind of push back the date, and I was kind of learning as I was going, because I was also still fairly fresh to mapping. So I just was like, all right, I'm going to like make something and just put it out there as like a demo and see how people react to it and just see how I feel about it. And that was what led to like the first release, which was, I think around, I don't know, I think past May, I think, or around May.
Okay. All right. And what about beta testing? I mean, because this is like one of my big bugbears, that people just generally don't get stuff tested enough. I mean, I saw that you sort of released a few things on ModDB and then sort of got some feedback.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm looking at the page now. The demo came out on the 23rd of May.
Yep.
Did you get much feedback from that?
I got a little bit. It was mostly what I was expecting. I also had some friends who I would say are probably around the same skill level as me in terms of like playing shooters. We all like met through Team Fortress 2, and they would play it like through its different iterations. So I don't know. Mostly like the reaction I got is what I expected. Where like some people were like, "Oh, this is too hard," and other people were like, "You know, it's pretty good, but you could work on this or this." Like the biggest complaint people had was like, you know, certain things being a little janky, and some people didn't like The biggest sticking point a lot of people had was the lack of quick saving.
Yeah, okay. So let's go back to this. What does janky mean?
Like maybe something that's an American, kind of feeling weird, like weapons feeling weird, or like enemies maybe feeling a little too bullet spongy, stuff like that.
Okay, so what made you decide that you wanted to mess with, and I use that like loosely, mess with the gameplay mechanics? Why not just build a map or a mod that sticks to what everybody knows to show people what you can do? Why start with messing with them?
Well, that's partially why I wanted to mess with it, because I wanted to make something kind of my own, because like it's already like a big content pack, so it's easier than like say making an indie game, right? Whereas if I wanted to make a shooter and say like Unity, it'd take forever. And there's like I wouldn't say I have like a dislike of Half-Life 2. I mean, obviously I have quite a few hours in it if you like looked at my Steam profile or whatever, and obviously I'm modding it. But, like, there's always certain things I felt could be better, especially, like, with the feel of certain weapons. The SMG was, like, one of my biggest sticking points where I was, like, there's, like, it comes out in a cone of fire that's sort of inaccurate, and you really don't have any control over that. So it just sort of feels ineffectual. Like, at a range, it doesn't really feel like you're missing because you're aiming poorly. It's just kind of like, eh. And I was, like, I like to improve upon stuff like that. And I had a lot of other ideas I've always wanted to try out in a shooter. And so this was, you know, to me, the way I would start with that.
All right. Well, let's maybe run through the list of things that I've got that I know that was different. And then we can maybe talk about the visual style and everything. Yeah. So the first one is the regenerating health.
Yes.
In general, I don't like it. But I thought that you made, and I mean, people assume that I've been playing games for years, and I've been playing games longer than you've been alive. But my range of games is actually quite short. And people mention games and I say, oh, I'm sorry, I haven't played that one. And they're like, oh, really? So this regenerating health is fairly new for me. I have played games with it before, but I'd never seen it done up to sort of, you know, like 20, 40, 60, 80. Is that new for you, or did you borrow it from somebody else?
Well, I know I think it was used in at least, I can't think of any shooters off the top of my head, but I know I've seen it, but like nothing that I really play. But like I know I've seen it, I just cannot remember exactly.
Okay, all right. And how much testing did you do for that? Because the speed that it regenerates is really important. If it's just too fast, then it's not really worth it. If it's just too slow, it's like really hard.
In the demo, it was actually, I guess give like a small little snippet about this. In the demo, it was actually within the map, like Maker itself. It was basically like a bunch of logic things testing the player's health. So I didn't really know how to make it like leap, you know, like over time. So it was basically on a certain timer, and then it would just go like to whatever health chunk like immediately. And I kind of just like would just kind of like let myself get hurt and kind of like figure, okay, like what's the point right between where I feel like stressed out and annoyed? Because I feel like there's always that balance where, you know, something can feel kind of like, okay, I need to move or I'll take more damage. Or it just feels like, okay, I'm waiting too long for my health to come back, so I don't even want to bother with it.
Okay.
And so I didn't really like, I didn't even ask people too much on their thoughts on that. It was mostly just a thing I kind of intuitively figured out on my own until I was happy with it. I just kind of spent like a good, I don't know, maybe like an hour going back and forth between the code and the game, going like, all right, let's just bump that like a little bit.
Play it a bit more, see what happens.
Yeah.
Did you consider making it user configurable?
No, not really. It is, I think I did map it to a, I think it is mapped somewhere to a console variable, so I think in theory you could probably do that, like in the skill.cfg.
Okay. All right. Okay, so the next thing that I got on my list was the collectible and usable health packs, which I thought was really, really kind of cool, because, I mean, you collect ammo.
Yeah.
And you can sort of use that if you want. Of course, you've got like a limit, so it's not an exact comparison between the ammo and the health, but I thought that was pretty cool. And then what I did find, though, was that using the secondary fire of the crowbar was quite fiddly for me. I mean, I've got incredibly strange key bindings. And having to go back to crowbar, secondary fire, I'd be dead by the time I figured out what I needed to do. Right. I'm not complaining, because I recognize that there's probably no other way for you to do it. But what was the process behind that idea?
Well, that was one of the first ideas I had, actually, was having collectible health kits, because I really didn't like the feeling of like being in a firefight, and it's like, why like would anyone want to run to another building? Because it's like, oh, so I can go touch these, you know, health kits. And I was like, I think it feels better when it's like you have something in your pocket to use, kind of like,
okay,
you know, inspired for like a lot of other games I play, like say Dark Souls, for instance, where you carry like a certain amount of health stuff on hand. And what was the original question? Sorry.
That was it, really. I think the question was what really made you think about it.
With the crowbar, you asked why it was or something like that. Because part of what's going on with the crowbar is I really couldn't figure out any other way to map it. Mm. And oh yeah, now I remember what it was. The question was like why and stuff. Okay, so basically I wanted to have like a health kit you could bring out, kind of like in Left 4 Dead 2, but I didn't have a model. So like that was basically the cheap and dirty way to do it, was just map to the crowbar. Okay. I have considered making changes to it in future iterations. Well, almost definitely will. Where I'm thinking, because people have wanted it mapped to a hotkey, and I was thinking is like a kind of like a compromise, is if it is mapped to a hotkey, I'd probably make it so the health you gain is a little bit more gradual, so like you don't, you know, get like an instant 20, like, you know, takes a little bit longer.
Mm, but okay, it's an interesting idea.
I still
idea.
Have to play around with that, so, you know, no promises there.
All right, okay. All right. But, I did enjoy that.
Yeah.
That was kind of cool. Now, the next one drove me crazy, but that's because you don't really know me. I'm kind of like, my ambition in life is to get out of every single game that I play. I've managed to do it in Half-Life. So, the inability to pick up items. You nearly broke my keyboard. Because when I got to something, I was like, okay, I use my keyboard. Whoa, it didn't work. Crap, you know, like mashing the keyboard. Like, why didn't it work? What was going through your mind when you did that?
Mostly because there's really, like, no puzzles within it. It's, like, the whole game's mostly, like, focused on shooting. And so I didn't really want to rely on any kind of, like, physics puzzles or anything. So I figured, like, if the player can pick things up, it'd be probably mostly to do something to break the game, you know? Like, go somewhere where I didn't expect, or like do something weird where like they block an entrance and the enemy doesn't know how to go through and they can kind of like cheese things, because that's common experience I've had within Half-Life 2 is like figuring out ways to kind of break situations with the physics objects. There's like an infamous video of this where like there's a guy on a machine gun and the dude just picks up like a pill bottle and just kind of like holds it in front of him, and the machine gunner just cannot shoot him because of like the weird way they aim, because they have like this really specific hitbox they aim at or something.
All right, yeah, I mean, it doesn't take much to break it, does it? Especially if there's lots of doorways.
Yep.
You just put a crate in front of a doorway and they can't get out.
Yep.
You pick them off one by one. So, I mean, I do understand it. And the problem, I use the word problem, but that's not quite right. Mm-hmm. Of course, because it's got a physics engine, people expect to be able to do things. And maybe you know this chap, but there's a guy called Jim Partridge. He makes a series called Critical Jim, where he analyzes all sorts of maps and things that people have made. And he truly believes that any map that doesn't have the gravity gun is completely lacking, because why mod for a game that has physics and not use it? But in your case, it worked well. I mean, there was nowhere to explore. It was all about running and shooting, so that's kind of cool. And what did the testers say? Did the testers like that aspect, or they just understood straight
away? Yeah, I feel like the testers and I kind of have like similar tastes, because I always sort of preferred the original Half-Life in like terms of certain like things, like with feel and like focus, because I feel like that game's a lot more focused because it's just shooting. You know, it's nothing but running place. I mean, obviously there's a couple small little navigational puzzles, but for the most part, it's just shooting. And that was like a big thing when Black Mesa came out, and I was like, man, this really is just like nothing but shooting, and I kind of prefer that feel, personally.
Okay. Yeah, I actually prefer Half-Life and Opposing Force to Half-Life 2. I mean, I'm old school.
Yeah.
All right, next one on the list is new weapon sounds. This is what I've got. I mean, because I'm not a modder, I pay less attention to those things than I know my modder reviewers do, but did you change all of the sounds for the weapons?
AR2, no. Grenades, no. Just about everything else. And crowbar, no. But, like, the pistol was a sound created by one of my friends. The shotgun sound is actually the shotgun sound taken from Left 4 Dead. And the new SMG sound came with the SMG I found on, I want to say Game Banana. I had, like,
Game Banana.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Credits listed for who made it.
All right, yeah. Now that you mentioned the shotgun just seemed a little bit too strange to me. But maybe if I'd played Left 4 Dead, it wouldn't seem so strange, but it was so different. And then there was new models.
Oh, yeah. One of the big new model things came from this group called, I think, Deviant Pictures Films is the whole thing. I usually listen to just DP Films. they made a great pack of both combine units and like some of the, you know, cut enemies from beta, and I just saw their work and I loved it, and I wasn't sure if it was available for use. I actually contacted the guy who worked on them, and he explicitly said yes. And so I immediately wanted to set about, you know, making some new enemy variants and stuff using those models.
Okay. All right. Was it just enemies that were new models?
Oh, and the SMG, because for a couple different reasons. Okay. The main thing was the animations for the default SMG drove me crazy. Like when you reload, you can see like the magazine does not drop out. It just kind of like barely clicks out with nothing happening, and then he just kind of slaps it back in.
Okay.
It just drove me insane.
All right, so basically what we're managing to get here is that you built this because you hated everything for other... That was the real reason. You hated what you saw and you wanted to change it.
Yeah, that's the feeling I'm getting from it. It's like when I play games, like there are some games where it's like I just love everything. There's other games where I like it, but there's just like I have my own little ideas and I'd love to, you know, play with them.
All right, no, that's fine. I'm just teasing you a little bit. All right, next one is harder enemies. That's what I've got on my list. What did you do there?
I guess I could start from like smallest to biggest. I think one of the smaller changes was like small edits to the combine. And those kind of came gradually. One of the first ones was editing their accuracy just a little bit for like, say, SMGs. And probably I definitely changed like health values and stuff, but I can't remember all of it off the top of my head.
I'm not, just a general.
I made like a bunch of variants. I made combine a variant of the combine soldier that can deploy man hacks indefinitely to help like kind of keep players from camping and stuff.
Okay.
And I made a variant of the zombie that runs, which is basically just the zombine, you know, run mixed with the normal zombie model. But one of the bigger things, and this was actually one of the easier things to do, which made me flip out because this was something I'd wanted to do literally since like the game had come out, which is have a hunter that I felt was like a lot more of a challenge, specifically with its ability to jump and it's improved charging.
Okay.
Basically,
I mean, I always found the hunters pretty challenging anyway, but maybe you're a much better player than I am.
Well, I basically found, especially if you have the gravity gun, you can stun lock them. If you just keep hurling physics objects at them, you could just lock them in that animation.
Okay.
And I was like so underwhelmed.
Yeah. I mean, I understand if you're good and you know the right technique, it's actually quite easy to play against these things. So they're better at jumping around, specifically up or down?
They only ever jumped, as far as I'm aware, and I've looked at it quite a few times, as far as I'm aware, they only ever jump in episode 2, usually only down in scripted moments. I've tried to get them to jump up the places, and it's just like the levels clearly weren't really built around that. You're almost always on like a level plane with them. Mm-hmm. And if you can't get above them, they don't jump up. And I was like, I wanted to make a level that was a little bit more vertical, so you could like you would feel trapped in from multiple angles.
I remember picking that sort of building, and then you go up the stairs and you get the crossbow. Mm-hmm. And the building has sort of got an open roof section. And many times, because I played that section many times they would jump up from the ground, and it was like, what?
Yep.
What the heck are you doing? So yeah, you were my best friend when I was playing them.
That little opening, I actually created that immediately after I figured out I can make them jump, because one of the things I always got annoyed with was I only really could figure out, like, there was only one entrance into that room, and I felt like I'd have to do something kind of big to the house if I wanted to make it fit, like, some other kind of entrance. So it was very easy to camp, because at this point there was also no dudes who could deploy manhacks. So it's very easy to just camp, watch the door, and then enemies just kind of funnel in. And I'm like, that just doesn't...
Yeah, that's what I kind of tried.
Yep, and I was like, that just doesn't, like, look good or feel good, in my opinion. Like, it feels like the Combine are dumb, you know, when there's just, like, a big pile of them, because they all just came in one at a time. The instant I got that hunter jumping, I was like, well, that solves that problem.
Yeah, it did. Big time. All right, and then the last one I've got on my list, but maybe there are others, is always running. I think that's a clever idea, because essentially I never walk anyway when I'm playing.
Yep.
The difference between playing and running is not big enough to worry. I mean, if you can run, you can run. So what was the thinking behind that?
Partially because I just wanted the game to basically have like be a little bit faster on average than Half-Life 2. I think the run speed that you have in my mod is maybe a little bit slower than the sprint speed, like, you know, when you're using energy in Half-Life 2. But it was partially just because, you know, I'm used to a lot of old school shooters, and a lot of old school shooters are a lot faster than most modern school shooters. Like, you just move fast. Like, you play Doom, you go fast.
Yes.
And that was what I was kind of aiming for a little bit. I might in the future add the ability to, there might be like a button to toggle it, because I know one person said he had a little bit trouble aiming because he's not used to like having to move so fast and, you know, shoot. And I was like, well, that's a valid complaint.
Yeah, okay. All right, fair enough. And any other changes that you made that I didn't list?
Well, I mean, I'm sure there's some. Oh, yeah, AR2. I changed the alternate fire from that, where originally it would bounce around and it would vaporize anything it touched. And the problem with that is, obviously, it was really good against, like, you know, just one-shotting just about an enemy. But when enemies used it, it was usually very ineffectual, and it didn't even seem to hurt that much, if I remember correctly. So instead, I changed it to where it would detonate immediately on hitting any surface, and it would, you know, do radius damage. Which okay. basically let me have enemies that, you know, effectively have a grenade launcher that, in my opinion, is more fair than, say, the Marines with the grenade launchers in Half-Life 1, because there's a sound telegraphing it.
Okay. Okay.
So, yeah, that was
that makes fun. Sense. Yeah, that was interesting. All right, so let's go back to the actual mapping. I mean, I think you did a really nice job of making the whole area, especially at the beginning. You've got this kind of foggy effect,
yeah.
And it's like, you know, it's not like a nice bright street with like lots of lights. It's like pretty dull, and everything's like not grey. It's not the right word, but you know, so. Did you go for that particular feel, or did it just happen by accident?
That was something I actually discussed with a friend long time, even before the mod was like being worked on. I wanted to do that kind of aesthetic, partially because it's what I like in just like a weird way. Like, I was a big fan of like Silent Hill when I was a kid. But also because I feel like not a lot of mods look like that. Like, a lot of mods, I noticed, you look at them and they kind of almost look like a level out of Half-Life 2. You know what I mean? Like, it's like you look at that and it's like you could almost like you could be forgiven for thinking that was a part just straight out of Half-Life 2. I wanted something where you looked at it and you're like, oh, that's abandoned. Like, you can remember, you know, that kind of aesthetic.
Yeah. I mean, it's almost feels like Ravenholm in the day.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the kind of feel I got from it.
Mm-hmm. A little All bit right. more Americana, though, than European.
Sure. Sure. So let's talk about... the time that you encounter, the first time you encounter the hunters. Mm. You've kind of got off the train, off the sort of the train section, and you get into the sort of, it's kind of an arena, but it's really well built. And there's this really interesting building that's got this kind of X frame. I'm sure you know the one I'm talking about. That was like visually the most interesting area for me. And then out of the blue they come. That section was so hard. Really, I mean, the people on the live stream were like crying and laughing in equal measure, because they were crying because they had to watch me play it like 10 times and laughing because I was so bad. But I mean, in many ways, that was harder than the final battle for me anyway.
Mm.
What was the process behind that?
Yeah, that was, I don't know, like I felt like a little torn on it because I liked the way it played. And I was like, I can't fit this in the second half. Like, the second half's already been built. And I was like, if I work on this, you know, like, if I rework that, I'll just be stuck on this forever. It's like, you know, I wanted to release something. But I was so happy with, like, how it felt for, like, you know, for me and, like, watching my friends play it, that I was like, all right, if this is, like, a little bit too hard compared to the second half, I'll bite the bullet on that. but that went back to kind of, I guess you could say, like, my little childhood dreams, where it's like, that was the kind of section I always wanted to actually see. It was because it was like one of the first things I thought of after I played episode 2, is I loved the hunter ambush scene, and I was like, I want to do something similar to that, but with, you know, the show off the new capabilities, because the map is built in a way, or I should say that section's built in a way where there's a lot of places you can jump up and jump down and the hunters will follow you. So you kind of, you know, stay mobile. It's like the opposite of, I don't know, I'd say the modern, you know, shooter, where it's like, here's a hallway, you know, there's a thing. It's like, this is a, you know, a fairly open area and there's things chasing you.
Okay. Yeah. And it worked well because I had to learn how to use the collected health.
Yeah.
So it was kind of at that point, I needed to use them. Up until then, I hadn't needed to use them, but I really needed to use them. So, and it was kind of like a combination of, this is a really fun area to play in tactically. It offers you a few choices. You can run around the bottom, you can go up the stairs. But at the same time, I had to use the new gameplay mechanic to survive. And I was like so happy. I was like, hands in the air, as if I just won a Super Bowl or something. So that was a kind of a nice section. And another section that I liked was that kind of diner area. I felt that offered, a bunch of different ways of playing around it. I kind of used the stealth and stayed outside and then eventually got inside and picked off the last couple. But that was a really another nice area.
Yeah.
Did you spend much time making changes to that?
That's the first combat section right after the hunter fight, right?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Oh, yeah, that entire, area was basically in development from start to finish. Like, that was the very first map I worked on, and it was obviously horrible at the very, very beginning. So that map literally existed from, alpha stages, just barely figuring out, none of the programming changes had been done. So that thing is probably over a year and a half old, probably.
Maybe that's why it's so good, because it's just gone through so many iterations in a way.
It was basically how I was testing, in my opinion, the core of the game, which is I wanted something where the player feels like he has enough decisions to feel like he's doing things on purpose. The Combine are doing things smart enough to where you never feel like you can do something really dumb and win, but you're never too stressed. Like, you have just enough room to move back and forth.
Okay. All right. Well, I felt that really worked. The final battle was tough, no doubt about that one. But because there's so much more space, I found it easier than the Strider, the Hunter ambush. Was that a general comment, that in many ways it was easier?
I don't know. I didn't really get that comment too much, but I did kind of think it. I was like, I could see how someone might find the Hunter. Because the Hunter battle I actually made later, the intro actually, the first version of that map actually came after what's there before. Like, the demo was all that was there when I first released that demo. So I guess that's kind of probably where that mistake happened partially, was it's like I came on an idea that was so cool, but it didn't really work as a follow-up. It had to come before.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. Now, if you were to go back in time with, my magic time travel machine, what would you do differently about the development?
If I had all the skills I have now, I probably would have made I would have made a much better intro, because that was the one thing. Is I feel like the intro felt more like almost an afterthought, because I feel like it, the original map didn't have enough of something to kind of ease the player in. But I feel like I still could have done a better job there. And that's my big goal for when I do a new project, because I am doing more content for this mod, but for a new project, I definitely want the intro to feel more gradual. Like, that Hunter fight, I definitely think comes too soon. I want that to be, a more big moment after I feel like the player knows what they're doing completely.
Okay. Yeah. All right. And any other changes that you'd make? I mean, you talk about adding new content, but are you going to change much?
It's possible. I don't like to make promises, but it's possible. I'd say the big thing would be maybe editing the house a bit, because I was never in love with the way it turned out. I just felt like it was passable. But that section,
which house are we talking about? The crossbow.
Yeah, the second half. Yeah, with the crossbow and the big ambush scene. I felt that was the one thing I would maybe want to change significantly. But other than that, I'd probably for the most part leave it alone, just to let it be what it is, so I can put more time on new stuff and then eventually a new project.
Okay. All right. So you are building more content. Are you going to extend it in, at the end?
Yeah, there's basically going to be a follow-up. I can't promise how many maps yet, but I have a couple things planned. I've announced some things. So I don't try to play too many things close to the chest. I just don't like to give people false hope or anything. But one of the big things I've always wanted to do, and that's partially why I started modding, was to play with my own enemy ideas. I love enemies. That's probably my favorite thing about games, is the enemies and the AI.
Okay.
And so I always wanted to like try some of the ideas I had, just like looking through, say, like the cut content. And I noticed there was a cremator model from those Deviant Pictures guys. So I picked that up, and I managed to sort of rig it up with animations and have someone trying to kind of fix it up more. And so that's one of the big things I'm trying to work on, is a working cremator NPC that will not really be what it was in Valve's canon. I don't want to like give away too much, but I want it to be a very standout enemy. Like when people play it, they go, oh, okay, like this mod has some new stuff.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. And we got no sort of dates for that. You're just going to...
Yeah, no idea. I definitely I want something released before the end of this year. Uh-huh. And that's probably around then I'd like to be done with this mod and be moved on to the next one. But I definitely know, I have definitely no like real solid idea when any of this is going to be done.
Okay. All right. And any thoughts of including a story or...
I kind of had to give... That was almost like an out I gave myself, because I realized I just had no idea what I'd even want to do with it. So that's kind of why I said it's more of a proof of concept mod on the description. If I ever did include a story, it'd be very bare bones.
Well, maybe that's all it needs. I mean, one of the problems is that most of the Hall of Fame mods on the site have got some reason, some explanation of why you're doing what you're doing.
Yeah.
And I think that if you play single-player maps...
Yep.
That is an important part. But at the same time, I also know that storytelling is difficult for one person. I mean, there's plenty of voice actors available, but then, you know, it's not just about getting voice actors. Mm-hmm. But I think that would have been something that sort of helped the mod stand out. I mean, from my site, you've got like 700 downloads. And I think it deserves more attention.
Yeah, gotcha.
But I think... Well, you're bound to say yes, of course. But,
but I mean, I get your point. Like,
one of the problems, I think, is that it was harder than people expected it.
Yeah, that's what I expected.
And when you do mess around with gameplay mechanics, there is going to be that group of people who say, okay, well, no, I love Half-Life, and anything that's different, I'm not going to enjoy.
Yeah.
So you're going to be up against it from that, but... I think that you should have got more publicity than you did, but I don't know. Hopefully this will help get people to replay it. If they haven't heard of it, maybe they'll hear it from this. And if they've played it once, maybe they'll play it again and they'll finish it this time. Because I did nearly give up, but because I was on the live stream, it was like, no, I'm going to persevere, you know? All right, good. So plans for the future, a little bit more content for this, and then after that, some kind of new project. Still with Half-Life, or are you going to move on?
Most likely, yes. Almost definitely, because I feel like there's a lot more, as I learned to program, I've been getting a lot better about, you know, kind of just doing what I want to do with code. And it's very easy to kind of iterate on stuff as long as you're kind of working within, you know, that framework. Mm-hmm. There's been a little bit of a controversy, is related to what I'm about to get into, with paid mods since this game Prospect came out. And I haven't played it, but I already had, like, and you kind of got to you were saying, like, you know, some people, they want, you know, Half-Life 2 gameplay, where it's like, I kind of got bored of Half-Life 2 gameplay, and that's kind of why I stopped, like, bothering with Half-Life 2 mods, because I felt like I had mostly, like, I was never getting shocked by them. Like, at best, I was like, yeah, that was pretty good, just, you know. Like Half-Life 2, not even necessarily Valve quality, if you want to put that label on
it.
But like, that's kind of like the feel I got looking at Prospect. It was like, this looks like something I could just get for like free, you know, like I, if I do anything within that vein, I want people to look at it and be like, this is something that's its own thing. Like, new enemies, new wet, like something where it's like, this isn't just a mod. Like, obviously it's still going to be a mod, but like, I want people to really feel my effort, because I, you know, I put a lot of time into this. I put a lot of thought into it, a lot of thought.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's fair enough. I mean, I think modders should always take chances.
Yeah.
Because you're not making a game and it's free. And the worst that can happen is that you learn from it.
Yep.
And I respect the people who make something that looks exactly like Half-Life, because I love that. And I respect you who go out, people like you who go out and say, okay, well, I'm going to change something and see how it works. Maybe I don't like everything that people put in their new mods. Right. Maybe I do, but it's a mod. Mm-hmm. You've got to be ambitious. You've got to try new things. So what's your longer term plan for the future now? I mean, you want to be in the game industry. Are you just going to release a few more mods and just use those as portfolio pieces?
Possibly. I'm like I said with the project, I'm like half wondering how hard it would be to like sell that as like a paid mod if it turns out the way I want it to. Abandoned will forever be free. Like, I'm not planning on converting that into any kind of a paid thing. Like, Black Mesa, those guys are like my heroes. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. I didn't even think such a thing was possible. Like, the idea that Valve would be willing to pick up your work and say, oh, you can sell that. And it's like, I want to follow in those footsteps. Obviously, I can't quite do it on maybe that big of a scale, but I definitely want to pursue that path. Some sort of a big mod project, and regardless of whether or not I can sell it, I want to release something big. And after that, it depends where like I am financially, definitely getting into some kind of indie game development. No matter where I am in life, I want to be developing games. That is basically my one big passion.
Okay, fantastic. Well, hopefully you'll make plenty more things that I can play. Because once you maybe go off too far a path and it's not a mod anymore and it's an indie game, then you've kind of lost me. But I'm a very, very focused. At least you've lost me from the website point of view.
Yeah.
So I wish you success in that. I mean, I want to thank you for making Abandon the Town, because I really did enjoy it. It was one of those things that after you finished playing it, you're like, I had a really good time playing this. Mm-hmm. In the middle, it was like hard and I was, thinking hated you and... find out where you live, and
that's kind of what I was going for, honestly.
Yeah, okay, well, you got that then.
I like the experience of I like being stressed during some games. Like, I've played certain games kind of to their extremes. Like, I have, like I mentioned, my testing friends, we've played Left 4 Dead 2 on basically like the hardest you can play it without modding it, like, expert realism with three people when one of the bots like removed, and we just like it took us like 2.5 hours to beat like a campaign mission. And we felt great when it was done.
Yeah.
In the middle, not great. When it was over, it was amazing.
Yeah. But, that's why mods like yours push the boundaries, not necessarily visually, but from an experience point of view. And I'm glad that you did that.
Thanks.
So thank you very much for making the mod.
You're welcome.
Thank you very much for talking to me. Were there any questions that you thought I might ask that I didn't?
Really, I think you actually pretty much covered all of it.
All right, good. I was asking in case that you wanted to add anything, because sometimes I rush through the preparation and I don't always ask some of like the obvious questions, and people say to me afterwards, why didn't you ask him about that? And I was like, oh my god, yeah, why didn't I? But it's too late now. I've asked all my questions. I'm questionless.
Right.
That's it.
Maybe I was expecting the subject of quick saving to be brought up more rather than that.
Oh god damn it, let's talk about quick saving quickly.
All right.
But I mean, in fact, I don't know why I didn't talk about that. Why didn't I put it on the? I kind of on my review, I listed the changes, but yes. I didn't mention it. All right, yeah. Why no quick saves?
Because I always feel like, it kind of takes away from the challenge in some respects, because it makes it much easier to what I call brute force things. Like, if you make like just a little thing in the fight go your way, and then you quick save, and you go, and like the next section does go your way, you can just quick save. Quick load 5 seconds back. And just read.
All right.
To me, personally, I feel cheapened, especially if the game saves like within, like, say, the middle of a fight. And I'm like, well, I didn't really win the fight. I won maybe half the fight. Where it's like, I want the player to legitimately have to learn the game. Like, I feel like if you get through it without quick saving, you can say, I beat it.
All right. Now, this is interesting. We should have talked about this at the beginning. What right do you, as an author, have to decide how somebody plays your game? Imagine you're a writer and one person wants to read a paragraph every day because that's how they like to do it. Do you say, no, you can't, you have to read a whole page, or you can't read it?
Well, I would say it's more like the to me, quick saving and quick loading, that's more like the content to me than the way you play it. Like, I don't care if you play it with a 360 controller or on a giant TV or whatever, but I want you to experience the content the way I planned it out. You know what I'm saying? Like, if there's like a section in a book you don't like, it's still in that book.
Yeah, but I can jump it if I don't like it.
I suppose. But, it's still
in the book. I don't agree with you. I don't think it is the content. I think it's how The content is where the enemies are, how they come at you, all of those things. The saving is how I interact with that. I'm not saying you're wrong. I just want to be a little bit of devil's advocate.
Yeah, I get your point. But it's just, I don't know. It's always been something like I personally have such a, like, I have like such a personal feeling about it. I just don't want to budge from it. But I mean, I understand like if someone is like too put off of it. For, to me, like the challenge comes from that. Like if they had that in like, say, Dark Souls, which is another game kind of known for its challenge, I feel like I would have a much easier time with the game. Like I feel like it'd be very easy for me to just say like save before the boss fight and then do the boss fight and never have to learn like the whole level or whatever.
Yeah, but excuse me, but that's a choice that I make as a player. If I choose not to use quick saves, then I feel more accomplished when I finish playing it. But how many people would stop playing it when it got difficult? Are you prepared to please less people?
Yep.
Okay.
That was actually a conversation I had. I said that to a friend. I was like, this is a game for, I don't want to say like a very specific niche, but like, this is the kind of game I made because it's the kind of game I want to play. And it's like, if it scares off certain people, I'm fine with that. I want a certain experience out of the game.
Yeah, no, that's fine. I mean, Leon Brinkman, who you may know from the modding world, he's probably the most prolific mapper. He's got his way of doing things, and he knows that I hate the way he does things. But I respect that he likes to build his mods the way he likes to build his mods. And if people don't like that, well, don't play them then. I mean, you know, it's free. You got a choice, you know. So
that's,
I respect
that's everything
that.
In life, really. I mean, you know, people make different kinds of games. And people might say, oh, I wish this was easier. And I'm like, well, like, that's not what they were going for.
Yeah.
Variety is good.
It is. One thing that I would like to suggest, and forgive my offering unsolicited advice, is that I think maybe at the beginning of this, if more of those things were explained, because I'm a great believer that everything should be explained in the game. If anybody has to read a README or a website to see what this game is like, then it's been done wrong. That if at the beginning somehow you could have explained these things, not so much in an obvious tutorial or text on the screen. I know you put text on the screen for the secondary use of the and I understand that. I'm not criticizing that, but what I'm saying is that when you make such big changes, and if somebody comes into the mod without knowing it, the shock is sometimes more important than the actual changes.
Right.
And maybe if people had been sort of introduced to the idea slowly, you know, like an NPC saying, okay, no, your HEV has been modified. You know, it slowly adds health to you. You've got the packs that you can use.
That kind of goes into what I was saying about wanting to ease players in better with a new project. That'd probably be something I would do, is have something where like little things might hurt the player, so they don't even, and they can't heal yet, and then they would notice, you know, their health going up gradually, stuff like that.
Hopefully, obviously.
Yeah.
Don't assume that the player will notice, because I miss a bunch of things. So
yeah, I think I can mention one small change just real quick. I want to include at some point in the future is a small UI change that shows the health is like in bars, so the player kind of sees the segments, and it'd probably be a little bit more apparent, you know, when a segment's filling up and stuff.
Yeah, that would be a good idea.
Yeah.
That would be a good idea. And maybe, I mean, does it flash when it's getting bigger?
I don't think so, not really. It just kind of, you know, goes up, like the numbers start moving. So your eye might notice the numbers moving. But the problem, the mistake I made is there's really nothing that, like, forces the player to notice that they've been, like, hurt slightly. Other than I think I might have had it do like at the very beginning. I think the player's at like 70 health or something, but I could be totally wrong there and crazy. But like beyond that, the player will probably be in combat, so they might not even notice. Like they might get hit and then be like, oh, okay, I'm at like 80 health. They probably don't even like remember that it was at 65.
Yeah, yeah. I think that you'd need to do more to communicate those changes, but not in a combat situation.
Yeah.
And if it is with the UI or the HUD, then it needs to be so obvious. Yep. It's like huge numbers in your face at the beginning in one particular area, and then it goes back to normal.
I totally agree, yeah.
Something like that. Only because I'm worried that some people stopped playing it because it was too hard or they didn't understand the mechanics. And, you know, that would be a shame. All right, good. I'm glad you're open to those kind of things. It sounds like in the phrase in English, British English, is you've got your head screwed on. It's kind of, I don't know whether that makes sense to an American, but it's the kind of idea, you know what you're doing.
Yeah, I mean, I think about this kind of stuff a lot. I'm obsessed with it. I mean,
good.
I'm privileged as well, but I mean, I got out of classes because I felt like, to me, this is classes for what I'm doing, and I take them more seriously than pretty much any other aspect I can think of. Like,
good.
I really want to do this.
Excellent. Well, it's always nice to see people who focus on something and really try to be as good as they can be at it. But not just from the technical aspect. I mean, you see a lot of people who can technically build levels, but they don't understand why they build them.
Yes.
In the sense of what they're trying to do. That, you know, they can maybe build a very technically proficient level, but it's not much fun to play.
Yeah.
And you seem kind of have to have both areas. You know, you thought about what you want it to do, and then you can build it as well. So that's kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent. So that's it. We're finished for today. Thank you very much for taking the time again.
You're welcome. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
All right. And you're most welcome. And keep working hard. And we hope to see some new content very soon. Well, at least the end of the year anyway. So thanks for listening, and remember, finishing Half-Life is just the beginning. See ya.
See ya.
Thank you for downloading and listening to this podcast from runthinkshootlive.com. For more podcasts, including exclusive interviews and roundtable chats, please visit runthinkshootlive.com/listen. Remember, finishing Half-Life is just the beginning. RunThinkShootLive.com lists and reviews single-player maps and mods from the Half-Life series of games.